We're going to continue our studies in biblical characters. Biblical characters. And today on our study, we're going to look at a disciple named Tabitha. A disciple named Tabitha. And we need to begin in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, if you would. And we'll begin reading in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9 with me. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So here we have a congregation here at Joppa, which is made up of common people who sometimes prove to be extraordinary characters. Now, Tabitha, or Dorcas, was one such character which flashes across the pages of the New Testament like a comet across the night sky. She is briefly seen, but brightly shines. Tabitha is more commonly known as Dorcas. The former is Aramaic, and the latter is Greek. There are several good lessons we can learn from this story, that we can learn from this biblical character, Tabitha. First of all, we want to see the report about Dorcas. The report about Dorcas. She was full of good works and charitable deeds. We're told in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Of course, alms deeds were acts of mercy. Amen. And you know, this is how a Christian is supposed to be, according to the Word of God. A person is supposed to be full of good works after they get saved. Notice with me, we'll come back to Acts chapter 9 in just a moment, but notice with me in Titus chapter 2 what the Word of God has to say. Titus chapter 2 with me, in verse number 14. In Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the reason, one of the reasons he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, here it is, zealous of good works. As Christians, we are to be zealous, amen, zealous of good works. In witnessing to someone, we often use the book of Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn there. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, we often use Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 to show that a person is not saved by anything that they do, by their good works. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So in verses 8 and 9, we see that we're saved by the grace of God through faith, amen, and that it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's not of works, not anything that we could do. If we could do it, we could boast about it, but it's not. It's we're saved by grace through faith. Now, but notice what it says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we see that really Dorcas, Tabitha, was really a way a Christian is supposed to be after this saved, full of good works. Amen. She was full of good works. The Christian is to be zealous of good works. Amen. We're created, we just read, in Christ Jesus under good works. So as once said, after you get saved, then you go to work. Amen. You don't work to get saved. You work, you do good works, you serve the Lord after you get saved. Amen. And of course, good works are explained by the Word of God. Good works are explained by the Word of God. Look at with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 16 and 17. We're told all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see there's a connection, how the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything, for several things, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And by that, and through that, the man of God is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's how he's furnished. Amen. Unto all good works. Now, we see about Dorcas that she made clothing for the widows. And of course, the widows are mentioned in the Scriptures in how a woman is a widow indeed, amen, and doesn't have anyone to take care of, that the church should take care of her. But going back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 39, "Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Amen. She had a testimony. They could show, these widows that were weeping there over the loss of Dorcas, they could show Peter what her precious hands had made, had provided for them. Amen. In other words, she had a testimony full of good works. You could actually see the good works that she performed in the form of these coats and garments, amen, that she made for the widows. In fact, it's the work of Christians, amen. It's the work of Christians to help the poor. Looking in Acts chapter 20 with me. In Acts chapter 20, in number 35 of Acts 20, "I have shewed you all things," amen, "how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive." So certainly the hands of Dorcas were giving hands, amen, they were blessed hands. She was blessed because of all the giving, all the laboring, and especially she supported the weak, the widows, amen. We see that Dorcas would be remembered among the living and before God. She laid up treasures in heaven. Not only was she remembered here on this earth for what she did for the poor and the needy and the widows, amen, but also up in heaven, amen, because she laid up treasures in heaven, amen. That's what Jesus instructed you and I to do as Christians, did he not? In Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 20, Jesus said, "But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So she died, amen, but she certainly laid up many treasures in heaven, amen, while she was alive. Notice what it says with me in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10 in verse number 7. Word of God says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." And certainly Dorcas's name, the memory of her was blessed. When people thought of her, the word blessed can mean happy. They had happy memories of her, of all that she did for them and how she served them and gave of herself to them, amen. And what a memory. It says the memory of the just is blessed. Notice also what it says in Revelation chapter 14 with me. In Revelation chapter 14, we want to look at verse number 13. Revelation 14 in verse number 13. Notice what the Word of God says. Revelation 14, 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And certainly the works that the Christian works, the service to the Lord that Dorcas performed while she was on this earth, certainly followed her to heaven. In fact, if you read the book of Job, in chapter 31, in verse 20 of Job, we see that Job took comfort in the fact that the poor were warmed with the fleece of my sheep, he said. Now, the dead often have memorials raised in their honor. Amen. Tabitha left a memorial in the tunics, amen, the garments, the coats that she made for the poor. In the city of Joppa itself, there is a Tabitha school established by the Presbyterian Church of Scotland in 1863. We see now, as we're looking again at the report about Dorcas, we saw that she was full of good works and charitable deeds. She made clothing for the widows. And then we see here, Tabitha died, was prepared for burial, and was mourned. We have to go back to Acts chapter 9 and verses 37 through 39. "And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, shewing by the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." So we see there, she was prepared for burial as it was in that day. They washed the body. Amen. Now, we want to see that Peter came to Joppa. The disciples at Joppa sent for him. In verse 38, we just read, "And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them." Now, see, Peter was in Lydda. which is about 12 miles from Joppa, about a 3-hour walk. The modern name for Lida is Lod, which is the site of the international airport. And Joppa is a seaport town in the tribe of Dan. It is one of the oldest seaports in the entire world. In fact, the cedars of Lebanon passed through here to build the temple at Jerusalem. Joppa was the place where we see that Jonah boarded a ship to go to Tarshish. And in the ancient world, Joppa was an important stop on the Via Maris, the trade route that extended from Egypt to Mesopotamia. Now, he came to comfort them as the mourn Tabitha's passing, amen. He came to comfort them as they mourned Tabitha's passing. We see that. Now, exactly why they sent for Peter is unclear. You know, maybe some believe because he was an apostle. He had the apostolic gifts, amen, that he came to. Maybe they sent for him to raise her from the dead. But we don't really know. It's unclear because if you think about it, it may not have been the purpose for him to come to raise her from the dead because, after all, Stephen was not raised from the dead, amen? And, of course, we know that the gospel contains words of comfort, amen, it talks about the catching away of the church over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18, and Paul tells us to comfort one another with these words. And then we're told we should turn, as members of the body of Christ, we should turn to each other for comfort, amen? In time of need and trial and death and loss, we're told that we should turn to one another, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 12 through 18, and verses 25 to 27. Now we see that Tabitha is brought back to life. And the events involved were simple. Look at going back to Acts chapter 9. We see beginning in verse number 40 and then 41. And Peter put them all forth. He put everybody out of the room that was there in the upper chamber and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Amen. We see that Peter denied anything that looked like vain glory. Vain glory, ostentatious. Amen. The room is cleared, and Peter kneels in prayer. He tells the body to arise. He takes her by the hand and helps her up. And he calls for the brethren and presents her alive. Just as Elijah did, amen, with the widow's son, amen. He presented him alive to his mother in 1 Kings 17:23, and the same thing with Elisha. He did the same thing. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 36. And remember Christ. Amen. He raised the son of the widow of Nain, and he presented so in these three cases, Elijah, Elisha, and Christ presented the dead sons alive to their mothers, just as Peter had presented, amen, had presented Tabitha to the saints and the widows that were mourning her, amen. Now, we also see this is very similar to the daughter of Jairus, remember? Christ healed her. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he came, and let's turn to Mark 5, amen, to see that. So we see this is very similar to the healing that Christ did of the Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, we read in verses 22 and 23, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. So Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, he came to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he fell at the feet of Jesus, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And of course, Jesus goes with the man. And in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, sometimes that's what you and I need to do as Christians. Be not afraid, only believe. Trust in the Lord, amen. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And of course, they laughed at him when he said that. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, just as Peter had put all the people out, that were there with Dorcas. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which be interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And praise the Lord for that. Now, notice, though, how this all differs from the miracles today, so-called miracles, and that's what they are today. You know, these so-called miracle workers, these so-called faith healers, amen, they draw a large crowd, do they not, and create a commotion. With great fanfare, they pray. Then nothing happens. But they expect pay and praise. Amen. Now think of how this resurrection brought great joy. Yet this joy would diminish. Amen. Why? Because Tabitha would die again only to await the final resurrection. Amen. That's right. Amen. When she would be resurrected up out of the grave at the rapture of the church. And the scripture tells us when the time comes, the righteous will receive, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We see that the raising of Tabitha produced faith around Joppa. Looking and going back to Acts chapter 9 with me, in verse 42, it says, the Word of God says, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Amen. Now we see the purpose of miracles during this time was to confirm the Word. Amen. Because back then, they did not have the full written revelation of God like you and I have from Genesis to Revelation. So we see here when God commissioned the Jewish apostles, looking in Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16 with me, in verse number 20, in Mark 16:20, notice what it says. Read in Mark 16:20. And they went forth, referring to the Jewish apostles, and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And then we also see in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, notice what the word of God says in Hebrews 2 with me. In verse number 4, Hebrews 2 verse 4, God also bearing them witness. How? Both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, we see back then the miracles, the healing, and so forth and so on, the raising of the dead, they were never used as means of financial gain. You know, we have a case over there in Acts chapter 8, the previous chapter, the verse 9, where there was a sorcerer named Simon. And of course, we see the story of Simon. He saw what the apostles were doing, and he believed. He was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. And then he saw how when the apostles laid their hands upon someone, that they received the Holy Ghost. And of course, when Simon saw this, in verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He wanted to buy them that. He wanted to buy that gift so he could make gain for himself. He said in verse 19, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, and it can't." Amen. They never used, as the so-called faith healers and miracle workers today, they never used, amen, the apostolic signs and wonders for financial gain. Amen. Now, we see that Peter tarried not at the house of Tabitha, lest he seem to seek glory from among men. What did he do? He took up lodging with Simon the tanner, an ordinary tradesman. And this was an expression of his humility. We read that it says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 43, "And it came to pass that he," meaning the apostle Peter, "tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner." Amen. And of course, a tanner's workshop, the tanner's workshops were required by law to be at least 50 cubits outside the walls of any city. If a man kept his trade a secret from his prospective father-in-law, the contract of marriage was automatically voided. Staying with Simon the tanner helped prepare Peter for the vision and experience of chapter 10, which we see in preaching to the Gentiles. We know that he was sent to Cornelius the Gentile and his household, and we see that Cornelius and his household got saved by the preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as we conclude our study on Tabitha today, we need to ask ourselves some questions. You need to ask yourself these questions here that I'm going to give you. First of all, am I doing the works revealed by the New Testament? Am I full of good works? The Bible says Christ saved us, amen, and we should be zealous unto good works. Are you zealous unto good works? Amen. You're not just to get saved and then just sit, amen. Amen, but after you get saved, you go to work. Serve the Lord, amen. Second question is, would brethren mourn your passing? Amen. Would they? They were upset. They were in tears over the loss of a great friend and a great Christian in Dorcas. And would brethren rejoice to see me again, as they were when Dorcas was raised from the dead by the Apostle Peter? And then one last thing. Ask yourself, do I love this world so much that I forgot about the one to come? Amen. Again, today we've discussed a disciple named Tabitha, or Dorcas, a Christian who was full of good works. Amen. And if you're saved, someday you'll meet Dorcas in heaven. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Well, my dear friends, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. thanking each and every one of you for joining me today. And until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.